songbooks at number 65. We'll use this as encouragement following the lesson. Song number 65.
Technology is always a challenge for me. All righty.
I'd like to open your Bibles to John chapter 7. Drink living water first and be a fountain to quench others' thirst. I like to drink a glass of water early in the morning. First thing I do, I get out of bed and I just drink down a whole glass of water because it hydrates my whole body after sleeping for 8 hours. I carry a water bottle around with me all day. And the reason I do is we get thirsty. We get thirsty a lot. 65% of our body is made up of water. I was at the water system thing here, and it has a scale there where you can stand on it. It shows your body weight, and it shows your water weight. That's phenomenal. 65% of our body is made up of water. I mean, if you weigh 170 pounds, 105 pounds is pure water. Thirst is a sign that we are close to death. A human cannot live without water more than 3 to 5 days. You go 5 days without water, you're dead. It's all over. If you take all the water out of your body, what's left over fits in a little garbage sack. There's not much left over. Water is very important. 71% of the surface of the earth is covered with water. Water is pretty important. In fact, water is so essential, we can't even make coffee in the morning without it. So we know how important water is. Can you imagine a fish thrown up on the beach by a big ocean wave, and can you just see him there flopping around, gasping for life? A person saw this fish, and they decided to help, and they rubbed the fish down with suntan oil. I think we're going to have fried fish. I mean, the oil didn't do any good. It just made the situation worse. Someone decided to help the fish with Coca-Cola. Well, that didn't help either. The liquid was just suffocating the fish. He's just dying of thirst. Someone else set up a beach umbrella. Thought they'd shade him from the sun, and that helped. But the fish was drying out and continued to flop around. What's going to happen to the fish? It's going to die. Without water, the fish is going to die. The most natural thing for a fish is for someone to pick them up and throw them back in the water. That way the fish has satisfaction. The fish can breathe. The fish can live. I want to show you a picture of myself. You ever seen me before? Shiny head, no hair. You know, I've been thrown up on the beach from time to time. Several waves in the past, 8 years ago, several waves just threw me up on the beach, and I'm just sitting there flopping around, gasping for life and suffering. I went through a lot of transitions in life simultaneously. I really didn't know what was going on, but man, I was getting pounded. I don't know if you've ever been out to the ocean, and you're coming out of the water, and a wave will knock you down, and you try to stand up, and another one will knock you down, and the beach is right there, and you can't get there. Well, life treats us that way. Sometimes. Several waves have thrown me on the beach from time to time. Worry, for example. I've worried about my past. What if someone discovers my sins? What will they think of me? I've worried about my present. How am I going to pay my bills? How am I going to resolve these health issues? Sometimes I worry about the future. How am I going to pay my bills in old age? Well, how are my children going to survive in this new world? Sometimes sin is a wave that throws me on the beach. Selfishness sometimes has messed up some of my relationships. About 8 years ago, going through several transitions in life, man, I got jostled around and I wasn't feeling very good. Almost simultaneously over a period of months, my very best friends in the world on our mission team in Curitiba, Brazil, we finished our goals and they all moved back to the United States and my wife and I stayed. And our three children, Brazilian-born children, all grew up and they moved. One moved to Japan for a while and a couple are in the United States and our kids left. And because we fulfilled our goals in Brazil, I was out of the church leadership. We turned over the Curitiba church to three Brazilian elders and three Brazilian evangelists and six deacons, and I worked myself out of a job. I didn't have a voice in the Curitiba church any longer. I poured my life into the church for 25 years, and I'm out on the street. I'm trying to figure out what I'm supposed to do. And I did never stop working. In fact, I increased my work schedule to three times my normal rhythm. I'm already a workaholic. Most preachers, we preach about 250 hours a year in the pulpit. I turned mine up to 600 hours that year, and I was traveling and preaching all over Brazil. And eventually, the waves of exhaustion and stress just threw me up on the beach, and I was flopping around. I wasn't doing very well. I was tired. I was without direction. I was unhappy. I had this fog in my head. Oh, I kept on working hard because that's my nature. But I wasn't feeling very good. My wife was worried about me, and my friends were asking, are you okay? And I didn't know what to do. But we picked up our bags. We moved to the interior of the state of Paraná, Brazil, and kept on working. But I will tell you, inside I was flopping around on the beach. Just wasn't feeling very good. What could stop this suffering in my life? What could quench this thirst in my dry throat? What could throw me back in the water? I didn't know what it was. Someone said, I think you got a light case of depression. Well, maybe it's burnout. I didn't know what it was, but I tell you what, I did not want suntan oil, Coca-Cola, or a beach umbrella. I didn't want to go to the doctor, and I didn't want Prozac. Have you ever been there? Have you ever had an ocean wave throw you up on the beach and just flopping around? Have you worried about guilt or crises or health or bills? How are you going to pay them? Have you been unhappy from time to time? Have you been without motivation, any get up and go? Are any of your relationships right now hurt or broken? Have you ever felt that something's missing in your life, you just can't put your finger on it? Have you ever went to a party and felt some temporary joy, and then you got back home and it's just back to the same old, same old? Have you ever went to a religious worship service and had your emotions manipulated, and you cried, and you were happy, and you smiled, and you got back home, and all those emotions just went away? And then you run back to that worship service again, and it's great, and you feel so good. You get home, and you find out those emotions are just temporary. Have you ever been through any of that? What have you tried to do in life to find joy? Have you watched a marathon of Netflix movies, only to feel worse afterwards? Have you tried to buy something? Have you tried to buy happiness, but after a while it's just thrown in the back of the closet, or maybe it's in your garage? Oh, that's going to be the greatest thing, and now it's just there. Is there a solution to quench our thirst for life and eliminate the desert in our throat? What can throw us back into water so life is great again? Jesus can. Jesus has an answer for us, and it's real simple. Drink living water first, and you will be a fountain to quench others' thirst. Oh, where does Jesus teach that? John chapter 7. John chapter 7. Hope you got your Bible open to it already. Jesus, John 7, it says, on the last day of the feast, the great day, Jesus stood up and he cried out, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. Now this he said about the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were to receive. For as yet, the Spirit had not been given because Jesus was not yet glorified. That's the teaching of Jesus. Drink living water first, and you will be a fountain to quench others' thirst. We read this simple Bible verse in John 7. What's it mean? Well, before you try to figure out one Bible verse, you probably ought to consider the context around the whole thing. So I read through the book of John, and I found out there is a theme about water repeated throughout the Gospel of John. Chapter 1, John the Baptist is baptizing in water. They're preparing for the coming of God into the world, and so John the Baptist is baptizing in water. And baptism in water is how Jesus was revealed to the world. And Jesus was baptized in water, and that very moment the Holy Spirit came on him. In John chapter 2, Jesus is at a wedding, and the wine ran out. And probably to save the host from embarrassment, Jesus got the servants. He says, fill up those 6 water pots, those water pots used for purification. I want you to fill them up with water. And Jesus transformed the water to wine and seems to have brought a new teaching about a new type of a power to transform lives and a new way of purification. Chapter 3, Jesus tells Nicodemus, you need to be born of the water and of the Spirit to enter God's kingdom. Chapter 4, Jesus was at a well, and he's thirsty, and he asked a Samaritan woman for a drink of water, and she hesitated. But Jesus said this to her. In John chapter 4, Jesus said, if you knew the gift of God, and who it is that is saying to you, give me a drink, well, you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water. Verse 13, everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks of the water that I give him will not be thirsty again. The water I will give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life. Now that's what I want. That's what I want. And the woman at the well, that's what she wanted. She wanted this living water. In fact, she got so excited about it that she left her water pot at the well. She ran to the city of Sychar, and she brought all these people to drink from Jesus. Chapter 5 of John, we find a man who is lame, and he thinks if he gets into this pool of water at Bethesda that he'll be healed. And Jesus comes by and says, that water's not going to help you. I'm the God that's the answer. And he heals him. Chapter 6, we find Jesus walking on the water as if it's the foundation of life. Chapter 9, Jesus spits and makes mud, and he puts in this blind man's eyes and said, go wash in the pool of Siloam. In chapter 13, Jesus, with showing unconditional love, washes people's feet in water. In chapter 19, Jesus is crucified, and a soldier pierces his side, and out flows blood and water. Without blood and without water in your body, you die, and Jesus died for us that day. In chapter 21, Peter was fishing. He should have been fishing for men, but he was fishing for fish in water, and he worked all night and didn't catch anything. And Jesus showed up on the beach after his resurrection. He says, why don't you throw the nets on the other side of the boat? And he did, and he caught a lot of fish. And Jesus glanced, boy, it must be Jesus. So what does Peter do? He jumps in the water, and he goes to Jesus. Jesus used water and fish and to demonstrate that a relationship with God is the most natural thing. And if we will act like fish, we're going to have a great life. We try too many other things that don't work. We need to do the natural thing and have a relationship with God. Well, here we are in John chapter 7 in this scripture we're analyzing. And Jesus was speaking to the people about the importance of living water to quench our thirst and give us refreshment in our life. And it's the last day of the feast when Jesus stands up. Well, what feast are they talking about? Well, if you read back the beginning of the chapter, it's talking about the Feast of Booths, the Feast of Tabernacles, the Feast of Tents, where they spent a whole week living in tents. And Jesus gets up, and he wants to explain some things to them on the very last day of the party. The Jews, if you analyze what's happening to the Jews during the time of John chapter 7, the Jews have been oppressed For about 600 years, they were oppressed by the Babylonians, then they were oppressed by the Persians, then they were oppressed by the Greeks, and at the time of Jesus, they're oppressed by the Romans. I mean, life's not doing very well for the Jews. They're sad, they're discouraged, they're not motivated with life anymore. But the law of Moses obligated these people to go to church. In fact, three times a year, they had to go to Jerusalem and go to a specific feast. And these feasts gave the people temporary joy. These feasts really were preparing people for the eternal feast. And the people were going to church. They're going through the motions. They're not really getting a whole lot out of it. But let me describe these feasts for you. First was the Feast of Passover. This was a feast to celebrate the fact that God took the Jewish people, the Israelite people, took them off the beach. He took them out of Egyptian slavery. He gave them a new way of life. And the people came together to tell God thank you for taking them out of slavery. And then they went through the Feast of the First Fruits, the Feast of Pentecost, where they would bring the first fruits to God, and these first fruits, their offerings, were given to feed the Levite people, and they were reminded that God would provide for them always. They'd go back home, and God's going to take care of our daily needs. God will keep us off the beach by filling our barns completely and our wine barrels to overflowing. Well, then they show up at the last feast about 50 days later, or the Feast of Booths, and they're going to live in tents. And I guess it's not 50 days later. They had Passover, and 50 days later they had Pentecost, and immediately after that they have the Feast of Booths. And they celebrated this to remind the people of their time in the wilderness, and they lived in tents for a week, and they were reminded how God provided for their daily food and water every single day out in the desert of Sinai. And these feasts were to thank God and to depend on God. And the people of this time period, the time of Jesus, I can just imagine them. They're far away from God. They've been lulled to sleep. They're not doing very good. They're discouraged. But they went to church anyway because the Bible said we needed to go. They're unsatisfied with life. They're flopping on the beach. Now, these feasts brought them temporary joy. And they went through one feast, great party, and went through another great party. It's the third feast. That was a great party. Great to see everybody. I guess we'll go back home to that daily grind of suffering and frustration. And the text says here in John 7, on the last day of the feast. Everybody's already closed the songbooks, got their Bible, and are heading home. Jesus said, wait, don't go home. Jesus shouted, and he says, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. Now, what scripture was Jesus referring to in the Old Testament? I don't think anybody knows. It's hard to find this exact quote, but there's several references in the Old Testament, and possibly he's referring to this Old Testament scripture in Isaiah 55, when it says, come, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. Jesus is maybe referring to this prophecy that the people have been waiting for centuries to be fulfilled. If you read through the book of Isaiah, there's prophecy about prophecy that Jesus is coming, and he has a solution. He's going to help us. Well, here's a question for us. What is the living water? Well, Jesus said in John chapter 7, verse 39, it said, now this he said about the Spirit. With the Holy Spirit in our lives, we can be satisfied right now and for eternity. And we can become a fountain to quench others' thirst. With the Holy Spirit inside of me, I'm not flopping around on the beach anymore. Somebody threw me back into water. And I have satisfaction and I have peace. A relationship with God is just as natural as a fish swimming in the water, and you became a fountain of living water to other people. Without Jesus, without living water, without the Holy Spirit inside of you, you are dead. In fact, Jesus said, Apostle Paul wrote down, with the Holy Spirit revealed, he said, the wages of sin is death. If you're going to participate in the worldly things, you're here lives physically, temporarily, but you're just dead. The wages of sin is death. But God wants to give you eternal life, eternal satisfaction. He can give it to us today. Jesus wants to give a spiritually dead person life. And then he wants to get inside the person. He wants to become a fountain inside that person so other people can live also and be satisfied. Well, how does a person get this living water to drink? Well, 3,000 people asked that same question at the Feast of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2. They said, brothers, what shall we do? And Peter said to them, you got to repent. You ought to be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins. Baptized in the name of Jesus for the forgiveness of your sins. And you'll receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. What do we do? Well, here's the answer. In Acts chapter 2, Peter explained, starting in verse 22, he explained the gospel to the people. He explained how Satan killed Jesus on a cross. He explained Jesus' death, his burial, his resurrection. The gospel is real simple. Satan killed him, a friend buried him, and God resurrected him. And Peter explained to the multitudes on the day of Pentecost, he said, if you've sinned, you're dead, but you can be alive. First step, you need to change directions. You need to repent. You're looking for joy in all the wrong places. And we try it on TV, we try it in sports, we try it in buying things, we try everything, and we just keep on flopping around on the beach. We spend money to try to get happy, and Peter says, you're going in the wrong direction. You need to stop seeking joy in this life and start focusing on God, and then you're going to have peace and joy and happiness, and life's going to get really good real fast. Change directions. Get in the water. You got to recognize you're dead. You got to be buried under a grave of water, and God will resurrect you to a brand new life forever, and life really gets good. Acts chapter 5, Peter said, we're witnesses of these things, and so is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him. God wants to give everybody living water. God wants to give you living water. God wants to give you the Holy Spirit, but you have to obey him in baptism. And when someone's baptized, that's when someone's born again of the water and the Spirit. And that's when you come in to God's kingdom. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 13, it says, for in one spirit we're all baptized into one body. Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, we're all made to drink of one spirit. Anybody can have living water. Anyone can have the Holy Spirit inside of them. The water, that, you know, physical water in the baptistry out there in the ocean, it doesn't do anything. It's just a grave. But Jesus' blood and his Spirit make a huge difference when someone decides to be baptized for the forgiveness of their sins. What does the Spirit actually do to satisfy me? So life is like, yes. What does the Spirit do? Well, a lot, and I don't have time to tell you about it. We could probably talk about it for about 3 hours. In fact, tonight, we're going to talk a little bit about it tonight, if you're able to come back. This is an unquenchable subject of what the Holy Spirit can do for you. I want to give you just a few things to think about this morning about what Jesus is offering to all of us that will come to him and drink. John 15, verse 11. Jesus said, these things I've spoken to you, that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be full. Anybody who would like to have joy in your life? Jesus is come and drink. How about this one? Philippians 4, verses 6 and 7. He says, do not be anxious for anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God, and the peace of God that surpasses all understanding will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. How about Ephesians 3, 8? To me, though I am the very least of all the saints, this grace was given to preach to the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. Can you imagine unending love for me? I'm not worthy of any love, but he gives it to me anyway. How about this one? James 1, 5. If any of you lack wisdom, well, just ask. Just ask God, and he gives generously to all who without reproach, and it will be given him. How about Romans 8:14? For all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God, and there's a whole lot more. Can you imagine complete joy? Perfect peace that never ends. Unending love. Amazing wisdom. And the Holy Spirit puts you at the right place at the right time, doing the right thing with the right person every single day. Drink living water first, and you'll become a fountain to quench others' thirst. If you'll just ask, you either got to be born or you got to ask. Depends on where you're at in your life. You're going to begin to speak to other people what the Holy Spirit says. And it's written right here in the Bible. You open the Bible and you share the words of the Holy Spirit, and they'll begin to drink living water, and they'll begin to become fountains of living water also. Well, this is a question that some of you have this morning. Hey, I'm a Christian already. I've already been baptized, and maybe I'm missing something. Yeah, probably you are. Maybe you've forgotten the Holy Spirit's inside. It's like coming home at night and turning on the light and someone's sitting there on your sofa. Well, who are you? The Holy Spirit. When did you get in here? A long time ago. Well, I never noticed you before. I know. He's been there the whole time. Sometimes we've forgotten the Holy Spirit's inside of us, and where our lives are frustrated. Well, what do we do? What do we do to let the Holy Spirit flow again? He's inside. He wants to do something. What do we do? How about we just ask? How about we ask for the Holy Spirit to flow in us again, like a river, and ask Him to help us to be fountains again, to quench others' thirst. Let me give an example of what I'm talking about. In Ephesians chapter 3, verse 14, the Ephesian church is frustrated, they're struggling in life, and so Paul writes this letter to him, and he says in chapter 3, verse 14, "For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven on earth is named, that according to the riches of His glory, He may grant you to be strengthened with power through His Spirit in your inner being." Well, the Ephesians church wasn't asking, so the Apostle Paul decided to ask for them, for the Holy Spirit to flow in them like a river. When's the last time you asked God to bless you and bless your family and to bless the church with His grace and His peace and His mercy and His love and His joy and His wisdom and His strength? When's the last? Have you ever read the introduction of the letters of Paul? That's how he starts them. Grace and peace be multiplied in your life through Christ Jesus our Lord. Paul's always praying for the churches. And so if the Ephesians church is not going to pray, the Apostle Paul prayed for them. Let's ask that He bless us and bless others. Let's ask Him that He will produce the fruit of the Spirit in us. It's not our fruit, it's His fruit. When's the last time you asked God, "God, man, I mess it up, and I'm stumbling, and I'm failing. Could you produce love in me, and joy in me, and peace in me, and mercy in me, and gentleness, and faithfulness, and self-control? I can't do it, but I know it's Your fruit. Will You flow through me like a river?" Just ask. When's the last time we asked God to do that? He likes to answer that prayer. And if you read the next few verses in Ephesians 3:20, it says, "Now to Him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly beyond all that we ask or think, according to the power that's at work in us," it's there. You need to ask. And God will do something. Well, what can stop the Holy Spirit from flowing in us like a river? What can stop Him? Because you can't stop Him. You know what stops Him? Sin. As you read the next chapter, in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 25 through 30, it teaches that lying and stealing and speaking rudely and anger and bitterness and a lot of other sins will just quench the Spirit. It'll grieve the Spirit. He'll just stop working. He'll be there, but He's not doing anything. Our sin quenches the Holy Spirit from flowing in our lives like a river. Sin stopped the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost in Acts 2 in the lives of thousands of people. And Peter called them to repentance, to change. In Revelation chapter 3, verses 14 through 20, Jesus called the church in Laodicea to repentance. The whole church. He said, you're not hot or cold. You're just going through the motions. You're lukewarm. Jesus said, I'm just going to vomit you out of my mouth. You know what Jesus did in Revelation 3? He just stepped right out of their lives. But Jesus loves us so much. He said, I'm at the door and I'm knocking. I want to come back in. I want to help you. Is anybody listening? Well, just ask. He's so ready to forgive any sin we've done. And he'll come right back in and he'll keep flowing and he'll do some marvelous things. But if there's sin in there, he's not coming in. We got to ask. We got to repent. We got to change. Here's our challenge for us today. Drink living water first, and you'll be a fountain to quench others' thirst. If you're not a child of God today, you need to be born again of the water and the Spirit. You need to be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins. You need to get in the water. It's that simple. And the water is always ready. And you can begin experiencing what I experience every day. Maybe you're a child of God here. You've already been baptized and you're sort of struggling and tripping around and frustrated in life. Maybe the waves of worry and sin and exhaustion and stress have thrown you on the beach. Why don't you ask God in prayer to throw you back into water? How about that today? Ask him. And God will gladly help you with joy and peace and mercy and love beyond your wildest dreams. You know, several years ago, about 8 years ago, man, I got thrown up on the beach. I kept working as hard as I could as a missionary, but I wasn't feeling too good. And I asked God for help. Went in my closet, and I closed the door, and I just cried for half an hour. And I asked, will you help me? And I asked other people, will you help? Will you pray to God for me too? And about 5 months ago, I mean, this went on for several years. About 5 months ago, I became aware of a sin in my life I just wasn't aware of. I had this really aggressive tone of voice as I went after fallen away Christians, and I really wasn't aware of what was happening in my life until someone called my attention. And when they did, I repented publicly before the church. And I asked the church to pray for me, and to pray for me every day to remove this aggressive tone of life, way of talking out of my vocabulary. And all of a sudden, 5 months ago, that fog lifted out of my head. And peace came back into my life. And joy. And it's amazing the things that God has been doing for me. I feel his unsearchable love, his peace that passes all understanding, his joy that can never be quenched. He's given me a little more wisdom and more energy to work. It's amazing what God can do. And, you know, I have an already filled out day timer every day. Night before I go to bed at night, I already have my marching orders the next morning because I filled it out and I'm ready to go. But the Holy Spirit interrupts me regularly. And he puts me in other places because he really leads my life and puts me at the right place, the right time to do the right thing. And God has made me, along with other people in the church in Guarapuava, Brazil, fountains. Just in the last 5 months, 18 people have been baptized. It's amazing what he's doing. If we repent, and if we ask in prayer, and we ask other people to pray for us, phenomenal things begin to happen. And glory to God for his fountain of living water inside of us. Can you imagine what will happen if every single one of us will accept this challenge today? If you're not a Christian, I want to challenge you to get in the water and let God do his transformation in your life. And if you're already a Christian and you've sort of forgotten he's there and you've gotten involved in some other things, say it was me. I repent. Pray for me. And God will gladly throw you back in the water and give you peace that surpasses all understanding, joy without end, love you can't understand, wonderful wisdom. Drink living water first and be a fountain to quench others' thirst. We're going to have a song right now. And maybe you want to just make your desire known. Hey, I'm ready to start right now. Or please pray for me right now. How about we stand and sing? And maybe you don't want to do it during the song. Maybe you want to do it afterwards. Maybe you're a Christian, just need to go home, get in your closet, and just ask and let God work in you. Let's stand and sing.